Well, we're continuing our series visiting with area veterans this morning, and we have another guest in today. Clayton Ellingson of Atlantic joins us this morning, an old Navy man. How's Clayton this morning?
Just fine.
Very good. The Navy is something that's pretty special to you. You enlisted in the service back in 44, and you chose the Navy.
Yes, that's true. My twin brother and I both enlisted when we were 17. Had to have our parents' consent. And then we went to Great Lakes Naval Station in Chicago, Illinois.
But you didn't stay together long.
No, after the boot camp, they separated because of the Sullivan brothers. And so my brother went to Florida and I went to Athens, Georgia for school. He radar and me at radio school.
And he's your twin brother?
Yes.
And you weren't the only set of twins going in?
No, there was six sets of twins that went in on Marshall, Minnesota. So I don't know what the reason for the only that many twins up there, but that's what happened. So.
Well, it makes for a good story, though,
yeah,
doesn't
it? That's true.
Why'd you choose the Navy?
I don't know. I just I was listening to a radio program one time about Army. You know, they were having difficulty, in the jobs they had to do. So I thought, well, maybe the Navy would be a more fitting place for me. So I decided to join the Navy.
Very good. Well, they give you a baptism pretty quick during the World War II days, and you were right in there toward the tail end. Where did you headed off for basic, and where was your first assignment then?
The first assignment was Athens, Georgia for radio school. But it turned out we ended up with just kind of gopher jobs with midshipmen down there in Athens. So after a month, five of us, we asked for overseas duty. And so they sent us to, we boarded transport in San Francisco and went to Shanghai, China. And there we were assigned the LCI 731. And what we did there was we had a river run up the river delivering supplies and stuff to the other ships. And that lasted for five months, I guess. And then the war was over, and so they said, we'll send the LCIs back to the United States to get decommissioned. So 48 of us left it was before Christmas, because remember I was in the ocean, on the ocean, and Christmas and New Year's, which I wasn't too happy about, but that's what.
Well, you know, I've talked to other Navy veterans, and most folks assume that when you enlist in the Navy, well, you're going to be on the water.
Yeah.
Well, not always the case. No. I've talked to some Navy veterans who barely saw a ship in their entire tour, but you saw a lot of the inside of a ship.
Yes, we were. In fact, we were anchored beside this battleship St. Paul, and which is a bigger ship. They were going to leave a week after we left, and they were going to be in there about 3 weeks before we got in there. So, and there was a lot of bigger. Ships in the harbor there too. So, and then the same way we went into Honolulu, there was a number of ships there too when we went in.
Now, this ship you're talking about, the LCI 731, it was not necessarily a brand new ship.
No, it was commissioned in 1941.
Okay.
So it wasn't that old, but what it is a landing craft infantry. They run it up on the beach, and the troops would go off the ramps. And so, it was twin diesels. And they weren't too sturdy because, like I say, we broke the freshwater compartment on the way back from Shanghai. So,
well, they weren't always the best sailing vessels?
No, not very good. 45 days back on the water. We had five islands on the way back, mainly to pick up supplies and fresh water. And then we did some extra duty for the islands there when we were there. But so,
a lot of work just riding that thing.
And then I was a quartermaster. So I took the ship in and out of the harbor and helped with getting the maps out so the captain could figure out where we were and how long it would take us to get to the next stop. And
17 or 18-year-old kid grows up real fast, though, when he has to see the world suddenly like that.
And another interesting point is in that storm out of Shanghai, the swells were like 15, 20, 25 feet, and this flat-bottom LCI would go up and go back, and you'd go down in the water, and then you wouldn't see anything around you, and all of a sudden you see the mass popping up all over the ocean there. So
tough to eat lunch right before huh?
Yes, it was.
Hey, talk a little bit about your time then toward the end of your service. 1946, you were in about 18 months, correct?
Yes, 18 months.
So you're kind of doing some cleanup duty then at the end of World War II?
Yes. We did, like I say, around Okinawa, we did destroy a few mines that had broken loose. And then in Guam, we went on patrol looking for, hoping we didn't find any Japanese, but we were looking for them. And then we came back, and I was in a Swan Island, Oregon, discharged Navy personnel. I did that for about a month and a half. So, so that's, I guess, what you'd call mop-up duty in a way.
In a way, yeah. And you, of course, you had a pretty good opportunity for you in the private world after World War II, after your service time was over. So that particular time, the 18 months, and that was pretty much it for you.
Yes, it was. And like I say, two years of inactive duty, but nothing developed out of that.
Nothing came up there. Well, now, you also had an opportunity here to attend one of the honor flights that folks have been putting together for a number of World War II veterans around the Midwest area here, and that was a pretty special opportunity for you.
Yes, it was. I went out of the Southwest Minnesota honor flight because, first of all, I enlisted there, and secondly, it was a two-day flight, and my age, I just said I couldn't, walk that far. There was 131 veterans and 40 guardians that pushed wheelchairs and helped with walkers and stuff like that. And then we attended all the different memorials, saw the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That was very, very interesting. And of course, the main reason was the World War II, because that's the only one I hadn't seen. And it was really impressive. There's each state is represented, and then some of the islands, Alaska and Hawaii weren't states at that time, so they had a monument for each of those also, and had a lot of pictures taken and spent a lot of time with a classmate that was on the trip with me. So,
well, and that's what I was going to ask you. Do you spend time, or do you still have friends that you knew from your service time?
Well, somewhat, because since then, they're dying at a rate of 1,000 a day. Since I went on, I lost my twin brother, and I lost the classmate that I was on the trip with. So that's why I say it's there isn't many left, really.
The stories are important to tell while we still have a chance to tell them.
That's true.
Do you remember the day that you came home after your service time?
Yeah, it was July 14th, I think, as I remember. I remember I got into Minneapolis. I was short on funds. I had to look up a classmate to get money to get a bus home to. It was poor planning on my part, but that's what happened anyway. So,
well, I'm sure the family was glad to see you back home safe.
Yes, my mother was especially so, and especially after she hears about the Sullivan brothers and hear other deaths, Gold Star people, so she was very, very thankful we got home.
It's difficult sometimes to explain to young people today exactly what it was like then, just because things were so much different than they are now. The way we fight wars are different in a lot of ways too. But on top of that, you've got so many people from a single family that are taking off. I mean, put yourself in any mother's position where they have several of their children who are now off. And it's not like it is today. No. Today they get on the cell phone and make a call. They Skype and can see each other. You were lucky if you got a letter here and there.
That's right. Some of our letters were 2-3 weeks old before we got them. And the same way, it was 2 or 3 weeks before they got them at home, too. So, it was a little different than it is today.
A little tough to keep track of sometimes, but it was good all around. Yeah. I mean, looking back, was it positive for you and how you turned out?
Yes, I wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah. Especially the honor flight, and that was just impressive. They call it the greater generation, and I feel fortunate to be one of those. So.
Well, we feel fortunate that we had a lot of guys like you who were stepping up to the call when we needed you most. Yeah. We want to thank you for your time here this morning. And, Clayton, we salute you for your service. Thanks for all you've done.
Thank you, Jim.